This is Daniel Cerrone, writer of Number 66, Motto. You're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
If someone offers you an acre of land for free, run like hell. Welcome back to The Blacklist Exposed. I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And I am Agent Aaron Peterson. I just got back from my rump-smacking tour in the Glade. I am so sore. Oh. Thanks for joining us this week as we put our best light foot forward to discuss number 66 on the Blacklist, Motto, which aired September 29th, 2016, my dad's birthday. Written by Daniel Cerrone and directed by Andrew McCarthy. Show notes and other intel for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at theblacklistexposed.com. And before anybody thinks I was just being weird, that was a line in the show. I'm not creepy. Not really.
Beg to differ. You also learn nothing from the Lord Baltimore episode because now you just put personally identifiable information up on the internet.
Oh, take that down. Take that down. It's not my dad's birthday. Snap.
Happy birthday, Dad. Happy birthday.
I forgot about that. Damn it. So, hey, what about this episode? It got everybody talking. Last warning, if you haven't seen the episode. Okay, you're done. Can you believe that?
Wow. That's all I said. There was conflicting dynamics in the living room in my house. I think I was sitting there going like, I can't believe he actually went through with it. So then I started to tear up because I thought she was actually gone.
Mm-hmm.
Curse you, hand grab. We'll talk about that later. And then, of course, my wife is sitting there going like, I hate Red. I'm done with the show. I'm just,
wow.
Turn it off. She was both beside herself, but both with completely different emotions.
Now, is it one of those things, because I've seen a few people say that, I'm done with this. That's too far. I'm like, really? That's where you draw the line? Right there? Okay. So do you think that was too far for anybody shooting Kaplan? And I would say leaving her for dead. I'm not saying dead, because there are some people, and I should preface this, I don't watch previews, so anybody that wants to scream, if you would have watched the preview, I don't watch the previews, because I don't like to see anything from next week. But I can tell you that watching that, all I saw was she's not dead.
Okay.
So, but there are some people that think she is dead. So what's your take?
This is where we have to tiptoe, right?
I don't know about tiptoe. I'm going off what I saw from the episode. I do not think she's dead, obviously. I think the hand grab is basically saying, hey, still here, still hanging on to life. Got it in my hands.
So we're gonna get into this right now, right at the top of the show, before we get into all the other stuff.
All right. We'll hold on to it.
Okay.
We'll hold on to it.
Just
salivate on that.
Salivate on that.
Salivate.
This one's gonna be a very interesting show, I think, this week.
Yeah. Whew. Let's see what happens. All right. Well, let's get into it.
All right. So we did ask you last week for the profiling question. What do you think happened between Red and Kirk in regards to Liz? Especially relating to the childhood. I'll go first. Kara said, betting Red did take Liz as a child before the fire. From what Dom said, everyone who cared about Liz backed out of her life. That sounds like a family choice. Katarina, Dom, and possibly others, maybe Kaplan. By Kirk's admission to Liz, he wasn't involved in backing out. She was removed from his life. It might be that Katarina trusted Red to keep Liz safe, but things went bad the night of the fire, and that is what Dom blames Red for.
Yeah, but let me remind you that Dom seems fairly friendly with Red, which means, in my mind, Red didn't do wrong. Like, what he was doing was for the right reasons. Maybe he handled it wrong, but he did it for the right reasons. That's what I get out of that.
And I love that Kara said at the beginning there, betting Red did take Liz as a child before the fire. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get into that one, too.
Will we?
We will. We absolutely will.
All right, Deborah said, I think Kirk was the Hobson's choice. I think Red took Liz, forcing Katarina to follow. I think Katarina followed, ended up choosing Red that night. I think Kirk was there only to learn that, but to learn that Liz was Red's daughter. So in one night, I think Kirk lost a family he never really had, and he set the house on fire. I believe Kirk was the evil, spiteful man.
Hmm.
Ooh, what do you know what a Hobson's choice is?
That was from the Kate May episode.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, save the mother, save the daughter. I had to choose one. I couldn't save both. And then I let the dad live. So
I was just making sure you knew. That's all. I was just clarifying.
So
And also because it wasn't 100%. No, I'm just kidding. I knew what it was.
And we'll get into all that back talk, too. Like, is Kirk the father? Red the father? Does Red know he's the father? Blah, 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 in a little bit as well. Linda said, just to stir the pot, and because I don't play by canon, I just watch a show and stick by my season one thoughts.
I like that.
But let's play. Christmas fire was started by, through, some action of Kirk. It kills Red's I really love you family. Red snatches the other child, Masha, believed to be Kirk's bio daughter, in revenge. Red has DNA run on a little Masha because he wants to make sure she isn't really his, and instead finds that she is the daughter of Big Secret Dude, someone we don't know yet.
Mm.
He, Katarina, Dom are the only three that know true bloodline. Kirk really thinks Masha is his.
Okay. I like that. I mean, well, it kind of makes Katarina sound like a hussy, but
there's a lot of people that are thinking that Katarina's a biatch.
I don't... Come on now. I mean, it sounds like she was in a crappy marriage. That's what I'm guessing. And she's a little lonely, and Red was there to take care of her. And these are bad people. They don't play by normal rules. Come on now.
Okay.
I'm just trying to... I just don't like... We don't know a woman. Let's be nice to her until we find out she's truly evil. David said, Papa Rostov, huh? Rostov? Whatever, I got it right. I didn't throw the A on
Rostov.
There. Rostov. I'm not Russian. I'm American, which means we do what we want and we don't apologize for it. Papa Rostov is a very rare genetic blood disorder, like hemophilia. To save himself, he needed some form of gene replacement therapy. That this involved his daughter, Masha. I do believe that myself. Mama Rostova disagreed with his medical experiments and escaped with the help of Red, with whom she was or had been involved. Papa Rostov, man, I'm getting the hang of this now. Maybe I can get my citizenship papers. Now needs Liz or Agnes to save himself. He clearly doesn't care about Liz. His willingness to kill Tom, his daughter's husband and baby daddy, speaks to that. I have to think more about the timelines and such, how this ties in with Naomi. We often forget about Naomi. Too many loose threads. Also, that's why Mato got the doctor to report no genetic abnormalities during screening.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, Deborah said, I think Kirk had plans to use Liz as a sleeper agent or a secret keeper. Train her from a young age, sort of like Project Christmas. Oh, I like that.
Oh, yes. Another Alias reference.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
So let's kind of break this down here from what we now know from the show this past Thursday. So there was a quintessential line that came up from Kaplan, right? Kaplan said, Red, I was there when you put that baby in my arms.
Mm-hmm.
So that means Red has Liz at that moment, has Masha at infant stage before she's four, before we see her at the Summer Palace, before we see the fire. If there even was a fire, right? Because I love the other line from Kirk where Kirk was like, what are childhood memories, right? Almost like throwing them away. Like, you can't trust childhood memories at all, especially Liz's, where her brain was scrambled, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now if we kind of put those pieces together, then there's a good possibility that Kirk himself is not the father. I think Kirk was someone that was tracking Katarina. Katarina and Red maybe did have an affair, and maybe there is another third party out there that Katarina was married to at some point in time or involved with. So I think what happened was, because we saw those people, right, that were chasing Katarina, that were following Katarina.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the guy that went into the bathroom did say Rostov before he went into the bathroom. So maybe he might have been working for Kirk, Constantine. So put it all together, and what we have is Red does, in fact, put Masha into Kaplan's hands. Now, there's a good possibility, and I'm not saying that I'm on the Daddy Gate train because it completely throws Mommy Gate out of the water.
Mommy Gate's already out of the water, but you keep clinging to that dream, son. You keep clinging.
But I think, what if Red is the father, but Red doesn't know he's the father, right? He assumes that Kirk was the father, or he assumes that someone else was the father, but he was the father all along because of the affair, in which that means that Red didn't lie to Liz when he said no. Maybe that pause, that breath he takes in season one, is him actually saying, like, man, I wish I was, but I'm not, kind of thing. Because now the timeline's all kind of wonky with this whole, the baby was actually in Kaplan's hands from the get-go.
My thinking at this point is that I agree with your timeline, that she says, put the baby in my arms. Okay. So the timeline suggests that Masha's memory is from when she was a little older. So that's time after that.
Correct.
So my theory is that they went to the Summer Palace and that was their escape plan. They were there as part of their escape. And Kirk, I believe he does think Masha is his daughter because with his disease, it seems like he needs her to survive. I really see him as an evil, selfish, spiteful man. But it's also because I'm siding with Red, although I'm not sure where I stand on that this week. But the memory only shows Katerina. There is no Kirk in the picture. So it very easily could be we tried to establish a new life, maybe with Red. So maybe he was raising her at that point. So they were together. And it is actually Kirk's daughter. He's just raising, or Red was just raising her to help those two escape from Kirk because he's an evil, spiteful man. That's kind of where I'm at with it right now.
Yeah, and the other thing that I thought was interesting, too, was how much... So I think we could solidify that the Summer Palace definitely was Liz's room at some point in time. I think the flashback solidifies that Liz was there, right? That's an on-screen. We can accept that one for what it is. Mm-hmm. Now...
Don't you want to wait until we get a little deeper in the show? You want to do this right now? You just want to do it now and get it done?
Well, it ties in with the question that we asked, right? Like, what happened between the two of them? And I'm just... We'll frame it up for later, but I think we're going to say that we do believe the flashback, right? We're saying that that is truth. Anything Kaplan says, we believe is truth. We don't know how to take anything that Kirk or Red say because they are the criminals and the villains.
Yep.
So anything they say could be a lie. So as long as we play with those constructs, those puzzle pieces in place, that foundation, then I think we'll be able to go forward with the discussion.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. So what's next week's question, Aaron?
It's going to be, and we're framing this so that, because we don't know if everybody has seen the episode yet, so we're not going to say, you know, what will happen because of what he did to Kaplan. We're saying, what will the consequences for Red's decision be? So, he shoots Kaplan. My opinion, she's not dead. Your opinion is?
She's not dead.
Okay, but either way, dead or not dead, what do you think the consequences for Red's decision will be?
Got it. All right, that'll be fun to talk about next week. With that, let's dig up some time capsules and break down this week's case profile.
Tom helps Red, Kaplan, and Dembe, and they set off to find little Nikos, the one guy who can help them find Mato and Agnes. Kate leads them to little Nikos, who Tom then tortures while he's trying to get a lap band surgery. The man... I might see some baklava in there, actually. It was a pretty funny line. But the man
so
is just trying...
Out. So grossed
he's,
out.
He's trying to get a hold of his health, and what do? We wake him up so we can torture him. That's where we're at. That's what 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock means to Troy here. He loves the 10 o'clock time period.
I absolutely do. And I have to say, when he said Nico's, it bothers me a little bit when he said the baklava thing, because we have a place that I actually eat at regularly called Nico's, where you can get some baklava. So now I can never eat at my favorite place ever again.
Sure you can. You just hop up on the table and eat that way.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's gross. All right, well, Tom tortures, gets the info, and leads him to Mato. And we're kind of zipping through this because this was a really minor story point. Honestly, even though this was the title of the episode, it's a pretty minor story point. Would you agree?
Yeah, he's just basically coming after Mato for the number one reason to get revenge for crashing into my car. And two, to find baby Agnes. And I want to point out, it was interesting when they woke up in the car when Tom shows up, that Red said, the baby. He didn't say Agnes. He said, the baby. Mm-hmm. So is that important to take a note of?
Why is that important to take note of?
No, he didn't say the baby. He said the child. That's what he said.
Which right. Why is that important to you?
Well, because when you look back at last episode, right, we talk about the memory sequence.
You say right one more time? That's like saying that you're solidifying and you're fact.
I am so fact.
You, boy. All right, we're just going to have to put the gloves on. Let's go.
Last episode, Red said Elizabeth, which is what the man says in the fire. We talked about that, right? And then, sorry, God.
And then right?
Said, right?
That's right, Troy. Right. That's right.
Right. Then Kirk refers to her as Masha. So I think the way people name and refer to things is the clues that we should be pointing out. So the fact that Red said the baby, the child, where's the child, didn't specifically say Agnes. Now, that could be two things. Either Agnes isn't important to him as we thought he was, or he's disillusioned because of the car crash, and he could have been confusing Masha and Agnes, and he was just in a stupor.
Or it's easier to treat it like a goal than a life if you don't put a name to it. I think once you put a name to it, I think that makes it more heartbreaking. You know, where if you just say the child, the baby, it becomes more of a thing as opposed to a person. So there is some of that, my opinion.
That's what I just said.
I think I said it better, and I didn't say right. So therefore, I was saying it as an opinion. You're like, man, Neil deGrasse Tyson told me this is science, and it's this way.
So the question I have for you then is,
question:
are you saying that from a standpoint of Red's trying to block the fact that he lost Agnes and keeping his emotions out of it so he can keep moving forward?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You don't need to continue. That's what I think. I think that very much Red, that's how Red compartmentalizes. I think the character really takes a disassociated route in terms of these things. When he's on a mission or a goal, I think he disassociates himself, or he tries to, so he can focus on the goal as opposed to the person.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. What was the other option, though, just for the people listening at home?
Oh, the other option I thought is that maybe it wasn't as important to him, so he was desensitizing himself because he doesn't actually care about Agnes per se.
No, I think he really does care about it. You could tell by the way he looked at that baby in the car last week.
Or the way he held her.
Yeah, I mean, he held her like he cares about this child. So
yep.
I have no doubts that Red has feelings for this child.
All right.
Okay. Mato is an interesting fellow. He does a nice little Native American dance, butt naked almost, while holding the baby. And then he hands the baby, which I know that is part of me. And I actually am part Native American, believe it or not. So I want to talk about that in a second. But he hands the baby over to Kirk's men, make sure that they give their word that they're going to deliver the baby safe. Okay. I mean, it seems like he cares, seems like a good guy. That info that Tom beat out of little Nikos actually leads them to Mato and to the bail office. And I'm curious, there's two things I want to talk about. The first is this one. Kaplan gets out of the car and Mato sees her and takes off. Okay.
Yep.
Then she hits him with the car. So that was great news. And that's where Red actually says, thank you. Did you notice this? And I rewound it and watched it several times. So if you don't know, if you got it on your DVR, go check it out. I swear to God, this happened. That it looks like she saw him and then she gets out of the car. Like she was talking to Tom, she looks Mato's way, sees him, then gets out of the car. It's almost like she wanted to provoke him fleeing. Did you see that? Or am I just exaggerating the circumstances?
No, this is absolutely up for interpretation. And I'm glad you brought it up because that was three times that we were on that scene. And did she purposely get out of the car? Because she's looking out the window. So she's got to see him walk up there, right? And then you have the
neck, right?
Right?
Yep, right. It's open to interpretation, right?
It is open to interpretation. She does look like she's looking out the window. And then she gets out of the car. I need to get some air. But then she looks surprised when they actually connect eyes. So I don't know if it was just a timing and the way the scene was cut.
I disagree with that. I don't think she looked surprised at all. I thought she looked very...
She looked angry. Hey, what's up?
That I might see. But the way that I saw it was she was... You know, at first when it happened, before we wound it and before I saw her hit him with the car, I thought, oh, wow, maybe she's trying to keep Red from finding Agnes. Maybe that's what it is. That's very possible. That does make sense.
It does.
But then when she hit him with the car, I'm like, maybe she's trying to curry favor with Red and do her version of saving her own life.
And that's exactly what I thought the first time through. They're sitting there, he's walking up, and it really looked like... The thing I said to the TV when I first initially watched it was, what the hell are you doing? Why are you getting out of the car, you idiot? Out loud. Literally said it out loud. And it's interesting that you say that she might have done it on purpose. I never thought of it that way. I thought she did it just to, you know, because she was in her own mind or she was whatever. I was like, get back in the car, you fool. And then, of course, she does hit him with the car. So I don't know. It might have just been cut weird. It might have been edited weird. I don't know. But there's a lot of interpretation in this scene when things get edited the way they do.
I rewound it, watched it several times because it's one of those things where I caught it right away. And all I kept thinking was, man, she totally looked that way and then got out of the car. So I don't know how she doesn't see him. It was directly, even where the cars lined up from my viewing, unless I did something wrong, which is totally possible. I'm not Troy. I'm not science. It looked totally like she was looking that direction.
It totally did. The first time through, that's exactly what I thought. Mm-hmm. Second time through, it looks like she's more, like her facial expression could be that of, oh, crap, I just made eye contact with him, and now I got to do something to save it because I just messed up the mission again.
Yeah, exactly. And I do want to point out while we're talking about Agnes, last week I mentioned, if you guys remembered, because I couldn't remember if I knew that there was some scene where the somebody got Liz's blood or something in regards to what I thought would be for Kirk. And many of you, swells of you... Is that the way you would say it? Probably not, yeah. But oh well, it's early.
Throngs.
What's that?
Throngs of people.
That's what I'm going for. Throngs of you, not swells. That makes no sense. Why am I even talking? This is why Troy gets to say the big words. Throngs of you responded with, yes, Mr. Solomon wiped some blood off a seat, I think it was, and got the blood that way. And they also took blood samples from baby Agnes. They could have used that at some point.
Correct.
So those two things. Thank you, everyone. That's why I love having an audience and a community that loves the show, because if you can't remember the minutia, somebody will remember the minutia. So thank you for that.
But him dancing around the baby naked kind of creeped me out a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little weird, but you have to know Native American culture. They do a lot of things that they consider a dance is very, it can mean various things. It can mean various protective elements. It can give defensive elements. There's a lot of things that they take very seriously in regards to Native Americans. So, you know, there's some of that. Which brings me to the other thing I want to talk about. While he's given his death speech, that's what I'm going to call it now, his death speech, Red explains to Mato that he's been to the Sundance Film Festival, Sundance Ritual, as well as the Fat Duck. FYI, I have a little Native American in me, and believe it or not, donations would not get you into any rituals, especially if you're a white guy. It just would not.
Good to know, because I was interested in what this Fat Duck was. I was like, sounds tasty.
It'll get you into the Fat Duck, but I mean, it's not going to get you into a Native American ritual. I'm sorry. I don't care how many rubies you throw at them. It's just not going to happen. Regardless, he doesn't want to be locked in an airtight concrete crypt, so he leads him to Kirk's summer palace in Cape Breton Island, Nova Scotia. That's right. I blame Canada for all this. Red actually calls in the FBI since they can get there faster. So, and we're going to go a lot more in detail in that, but I was just kind of like, that's the crux of the story of this episode. Is there anything more of that overall portion or the Mato section that you want to talk about?
No, Mato is pretty much a background character, obviously on the blacklist because of the car crash and stealing baby Agnes, so that makes sense. Okay, we're kind of back into, blacklisters that kind of fit into Red's line versus where they were in season 3. So I think that's good so far. Other than him just being really creepy, and the dance was great, right? Bless the child, make sure the child's mm-hmm. protected, get it. Just wear a shirt, man. Tank top or something.
You know what's sad is this day and age, we are so in that mindset that something that is innocent and meant to be a good thing creeps people out. And 30 years ago, I don't think it would have been that way. But now I think we're just such a jaded universe and we're overprotective of everything. Now, I'm not saying not for good reason, but those kind of things, I mean, if you look at the culture and that sort of thing, it's not weird. It's just a different way of doing it. There are different cultures that do things differently, believe it or not. And it's okay. I realize it looks weird. I'm just saying it's not really that weird.
Right. Especially if it was in the middle of a park or wherever they were.
Okay. That might have been a little odd. But
with someone else watching along. Yeah,
I don't know if I would have taken the Russian guy's word on everything, though. I mean, they didn't seem like trustworthy fellows.
They did not.
Mm-mm. Let's get into music, and then we're gonna hit these characters, man. And that's where we're going deep, deep, deep undercover.
Absolutely. So we had Where You Are from Portico is featuring Jonah McClearly. That's during Elizabeth's flashback to her youth at the Summer Palace as young Masha and her mother bury a coffee can with the bracelet inside. Then Elizabeth later digs up the coffee can and puts it on her wrist. So very touching scene. And I wonder if that swing.
Very touching.
That swing, right? Was that swing the swing that the picture was taken on?
Yeah, I think that's why they pointed out the swing. And can I just say real quick, you bring up that picture, and I was going to mention it later, but since you brought it up, the picture obviously blinds out the person that's pushing her on the swing.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yep.
And everybody just assumes it's Katarina. When Kaplan is shot, she kind of has the same glow behind her.
Yep.
Am I wrong in seeing that? You know what I mean? It was almost kind of like a maybe Kaplan was also taking care of that baby as well.
Yep. That's exactly what I was thinking when they had the glow in the background. I was like, oh, maybe this is where the swing shot was.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. Okay.
Very possible.
Sorry, continue.
Very possible. And then we had, of course, Gordon Lightfoot. If you could read my mind, great choice. Dembe drives Red and Mr. Kaplan out to the woods. Red walks away from Kate after shooting her. Shooting is the appropriate word. Mm-hmm. Mr. Kaplan grasps a patch of grass as she clings on for life. Because she's not dead.
Or it's her last moment. But I'm pretty sure she clings to life.
Right.
Yes. Okay, well, here's how we're going to do characters. Let me tell you, this week was very heavy on four characters. So we'll try. And by the way, Little Nikos, he's still alive, right? He came out okay.
He was still alive when Kate left him, yep.
Okay, next time we see him, we hope that he'll be about 60 pounds lighter. Lap band surgery will help. So good for you.
I thought he already was after Tom was done with him.
Oh, poor Tom. I kind of want to know what he did. I wish they would have shown more of that since they can be more violent at this time period.
I just want to know what he was doing. Was he going through like the holes and incisions that were already there? Like the tool looked weird. It was like a... I don't know what that tool was. It was creepy.
I don't know. I'm not my PhD hasn't come in the mail yet. I did order it, though. So it's coming.
All right.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the characters that had little to do this week fairly quickly. Because honestly, the four characters is really where the story was this week. Dembe, very stoic, little to do except be the muscle and the driver. And actually, I think Boz had more lines.
I think he did, too.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of cool to actually see... You know, him show up at the end as well, too. But Dembe, he had a really, really tight t-shirt on at one point. I'm like, dude's got guns.
He does.
Like, you don't always see him, but he's got some guns going on.
That he does.
Anything more on Dembe?
That's about it. Other than interesting to see where his loyalties stand next week's episode, because he said he wasn't on Kate's side. And I think he clearly knew why they were going into the woods. So we'll have to see what happens there.
Yeah, I mean... He seemed to side with it. I think Dembe would have put up a fight if he didn't agree with it.
Right.
Okay. Aram, you know, I don't know if I have the strength to lose her again. It was sweet. A little cheesy. We're like, oh, please, don't kill her again. That would be three times in a season and a half.
Right.
But that was very, very sweet. None of us do was Samar's response, which was a little shocking, but hang on with the Samar thing. And then the greatest update ever. I thought was a nice little Aram touch.
Does he like follow Wrestler around just to see what intel he can get? Because I thought it was a little weird that he just he happened just to be right outside the office, right?
Hey guys, you talking about me? What's going on? That's funny. Samar. Okay, let's move on to Samar. She is suddenly concerned with Liz, and she did say that none of us do, which last week sure didn't seem like she really cared a whole lot. So how do you feel about this turn of events? You think she's finally feeling guilty for not helping her?
Well, it's not that she doesn't feel guilty. Remember, when she turns over her brother, she's still very stoic, and she's got like that one little kind of moment, right? But she tries to be like cool, calm, collected on the outside. And that's what she was presenting last week until the very end of the episode when Aram was like, you'll be sorry if you feel that way. And you see her kind of try to, you know, like I said, press her hands together, kind of hold it back a little bit. So I think she deeply does care. She just has to put on a show, put on a front, because she's not a person to share her emotions. And this week, when she's like, they could be underwater, you kind of hear her choking back a little bit again there. So I think she'll forgive Liz eventually when they finally meet for the first time, which was interesting that they chose not to have them see each other at the Summer Palace, right? Because Samar's on the walkie, and you can hear her on the walkie with Wrestler, but Wrestler and Liz reunite. And you don't see Samar and Liz get together even when they get back to Boz and Tom back in the States.
That's a good point. And also, those listening at home, every time Troy says, right, I want you to yell, science, and then take a shot. And we'll see where you're at the end of this episode. You're welcome.
And then Dr. Nick will take care of your liver for you.
Exactly. Then you can go in for liver replacement. I felt the same way. It was weird that they didn't have that moment because they were at the same spot. So I kind of thought they would have a reuniting moment, but they didn't have it. So maybe she's avoiding her, I guess is possible. I did. Well, I'm going to talk about the wrestler moment when we get to wrestler. But yeah, I agree that that's an interesting dynamic. I'm really curious where they're going to go with it. And how many languages does this woman know?
No
really,
doubt. She knows
every language in the known universe, I think.
I'm curious to see, like, what is the best language you can come up with? I mean, there's, like, Farsi, there's Spanish, there's Italian. I'm just, what's the one language that you would just love to hear her speak that she hasn't spoken yet?
And she did Hebrew, too, didn't she?
I believe so, yes, I believe so.
Japanese, maybe?
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
Mandarin? Some Mandarin?
Yeah.
I think she's going to be really irritated if anybody hears this and they're demanding that she speaks Mandarin. She's like, damn it, I don't want to learn Mandarin.
Come on.
Oh, that's funny. But she does great. Man, she is very fluent because she masters or practices the hell out of those lines because I'm never concerned when she takes on another linguistic challenge. She seems to have it down.
Yes,
I
she did.
Credit for that.
Yes, yeah. She did.
Wrestler, friend, fugitive. Love that dynamic. You know, when he says friend, she says fugitive. I thought that was pretty good.
Yep.
But outside of that clever dialogue, Wrestler has very limited story time this week. Like I said, it's really focused on four characters. But he does have that really sweet moment with Liz after they rescue her. I was very touched by that. It was good to see them back together.
The hug was so good because it reminded us a little bit of season one. They're partners. And I really hope that when things settle down, that we see actually Liz and Wrestler back together again as partners. I like Wrestler and Samar together, but it was just something fun about Wrestler and Liz together in season one that I think we need to get back to.
Yeah, what would you like to see? Just more banter and back and forth?
Yeah, just a little bit more. They're Mulder and Scully, like we talked about, right? We need more Mulder and Scully again.
Okay, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I agree 100%. Cooper, he pretty much gets Samar's head in the game pretty quick. Boy, he's just like, hey, knock it off. Let's get on with this. Whew. So that was that's about all Cooper had this week. I have to say, bad.
He's very forceful when he wants to be the boss. Mm-hmm. And when he told her off, the next thing was like, we need to pray for her. So that's when I tweeted out. I was like, okay, boss. And I put up a little prayer hand guy. Prayer. Because I was afraid he was so forceful with this directive to Samar.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, it's funny. You know, when we have these episodes where we are kind of centered around a certain story element and the other characters are kind of forced in the background, I always feel bad for those characters and the actors in those episodes, but they always get their due later on. So
they do.
We're going to get some more out of all of these guys later. Tom got a little bit more. He gets to torture little Nico. Says Nico sits on the operating table, which gets him the information that leads to a medicine man bail office, which brings Motto in from the cold. So really, he is the one that got us to Liz.
Correct. 100%.
Okay. And he has a nice chat with Kaplan, where he seems to almost apologize to her. And then Kaplan has this speech, I'll do it because I don't know if you have the audio clip or not. So
I do not.
Okay, so I will do it for you. I'm going to do it.
Oh, this is where you're going to do your Kaplan impression versus my Red impression last week?
Yes, that's where I'm going to do my Suzanne Blommert impression.
Okay.
Which is not very good, so I'm just going to do it as myself, really. She says, so you want me to make you feel better? Everybody wants me to make things easier for them. Cleaner. That's what I am, after all. The cleaner. This is why she deserves an Emmy and not me.
Mm-hmm.
In my desire to make life easier for your baby, I betrayed Raymond, and now he doesn't know what to do with me. Well, he knows what he has to do, and he wants me to make it easier for him. But I won't. I'm not here to make him feel better, and I'm not here to make you feel better, Tom. Ouch.
That was such a great speech. It was so telling, too, because this was the telegraph of, we know that Red has to kill her. If you're going to stay in the world of Reddington, Newton Phillips was killed, Vargas was killed. She knows that she's on the chopping block and can't figure out why he hasn't done it yet. And so mm-hmm. This is her saying, oh, this is why, because he wants me to suffer and make it easier. Like, it's my fault kind of thing.
Absolutely. It was a really telling speech. I really enjoyed it.
What do you call it? It's the, you know, when you're really frustrated.
Precursor.
Precursor. Is what it is. But it's more the, you're really frustrated about, like when you're frustrated at work, right? Oh my gosh, I got all this stuff going on and blah, 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 blah. And everything's piling on. And then you come home and you take it out on your family. Like Tom was the person that Kaplan was kind of taking it out on in this situation. Just happened to be there and she had to vent.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. Tom is reunited with Liz at the end, and that was a very, very sweet moment, and we've been waiting on it. You know, even though I haven't always been a fan of
I was
going to
say, it wasn't a sweet moment for you. You were like, oh, they're back together? Come on.
It isn't always. Well, like I said at the beginning of the season, it's one of those things where it's a factor, it's not changing, so I just have to accept it and move on. Do I agree with it? No. I always go, man, you lay your hands on a woman, it's hard for me. But it's a character, we're moving on, it's the world, it's fine. And I was happy for Liz because she was happy.
But we couldn't reunite him at her apartment. We had to reunite it at the fake house.
At the storage shed?
Yeah, no doubt. Come on. She's been through hell. She's been in the middle of the ocean. She's at this place and kidnapped and whatever in Cuba. And she's dirty. And let her go home, you know?
That's dirty? She looks better dirty than a lot of people do cleaned up.
Well, she probably got a shower on the way over, but...
Yeah, it was a very sweet moment, very sweet moment. Alexander Kirk or Konstantin Rostov. Yep, did it again. I'm part Russian now. He pulled the old, here's my gun, so trust me trick. Whenever somebody, if they ever do that to me in real life, I'm going to take the gun and shoot them. Because for me, that means I can't trust you. I've seen enough movies now.
And let's be clear, this is where I say that he's not the dad. Because if you're a dad, you would never pull a gun on your own kid. No matter the circumstance.
See, here's the thing. I mean, he's a very bad man. You say that because you're a good man. That's the way I understand it.
That's what I've led you to believe.
Yeah, you're very good at what you do. He's a bad guy, and he did turn the gun over to her. So that was, and that's one of those old TV tropes.
That's a cop out, though. That's trust me, I'm giving you the gun.
I suppose he could have done where he was just holding the gun and handed it to her. I guess he could have done that.
Yeah, but pointing the gun at you point blank. You would never do that if you're a father to your child.
I still think he thinks he's her father, and he just is a bad man. Because everything he's done is bad. I mean, he was going to kill Tom. That obviously is not I love my daughter and I want to make her happy thing. There's just nothing about that sounds like a father that loves his daughter. You know, I'm trying to get her to trust me, so let me go kill your husband. That just doesn't work for me. So I think he's definitely a bad man. Plus, he shot that poor Mexican guy.
Right.
Sweet little Mexican fella. And that was uncalled for, sir. Uncalled for.
That guy's boat saved your life, man. You should be thankful.
Yeah. I mean, you could have shot at him, and he would have dropped that walkie-talkie. You didn't have to shoot him.
Correct. Ugh. Yeah, shoot the radio. Shoot the radio so then nobody can find you.
Well, now he's a marksman with a bullet wound.
He's a bad man, right? Lots of practice. Okay.
That's true. That's true. Well, he begins to convince Liz that he's telling the truth. Do you believe him?
I believe the story. I don't believe Rostov.
How so? How do you mean?
I think that this is an elaborate thing. I think that they were following Katerina around. They have enough information. They can do a really good reenactment, quote unquote. And then we get the flashback. So the flashback, clearly she was there at some point in her childhood. So yes, this might be the place, but I don't think that Rostov was there. I think Rostov is using the information to get what he needs.
Okay. All right. That's an interesting way to look at it. He takes Liz to Katya and the summer palace, which is his cottage. Now, at that point, Liz remembers shooting. She says this to him. She remembers shooting her father. Kirk says, "What's the memory of a small child?" Reddington lied to her, told her her father is dead. Thanks to her, he's still very much alive. Reddington was in love with your mother, and he's obsessed with you. It can't be true, but you know it is. Sorry, I've said too much. And at that point, all I kept thinking was, no, you didn't, dude. This is where you can throw out a monologue and explain everything.
Yeah, if you're the dad, just like spill it out. Let's go. Get it all on the table.
That's about the only part. And I get it. It's TV. They're not going to, you know, they got to sparse it out. Otherwise, you know, throw all your cards on the table in the second episode. It doesn't make any sense. But you are watching it going, no, you could really spill it right now. And this would solve a whole lot of thinking.
And this is and this, on her part. And this is where we completely start to obsess about the show and analyze every line. And again, if we assume he's the villain, the bad guy, you can't take what he says as truth, or can you? We don't know. And that's where we love John and John for what they do and the way they write it. But the line where he says, "Thanks to you, I'm very still much alive."
Mm-hmm.
So that line, again, may lead you to believe that the man that Liz shot was actually Reddington due to the burn scars on his back.
No. That line very much said she just saved him in the ocean.
It could mean that, too.
No, it does mean that. I think you're crazy. I think you're making a leap. That's a leap.
It's a leap you could make, though. Right?
Yeah.
You think you shot your father, but because of Reddington and because of you, I'm very still much alive. Right? So Reddington maybe did have her.
Science!
Reddy called Elizabeth when the whole conversation was going from that dream sequence. So there's a good possibility that Liz did shoot Reddington. Reddington falls and gets burned. And maybe Constantine is the one that took her out, and then she was with Katarina after that point. So the thing that we have to bring up here is that as she's moving her hand across the bushes, you see Liz's scar on her hand. I couldn't make it out on the child. It looked like the scar was there. Some people have screenshotted and said the scar was there. So if the scar was there, then that means the Summer Palace was after the fire.
Man, that's a confusing timeline, isn't it?
It is, which could mean that Constantine and Katya Katerina were at the Summer Palace together after the fire when Reddington was shot and laying on the ground burning to death.
I still think it was Red and Katerina. That's what I think. But they purposely didn't show who was there with her on purpose. I mean, that was intentional.
Yeah, exactly.
So we had to have this debate.
Exactly.
So let's go on record. Who do you think was at the cottage with Katerina? Do you think it was Kirk or Red? What's your opinion?
I can't see the scar well enough. If I could see the scar on the child's hand better, then I would say that she was there with Kirk.
Okay, if scar's not there, then you would say Red.
Correct.
Interesting way to look at it. I say Red either way. So, because, that's what I'm going with.
Because now I keep coming back to and I hate to come back to Daddygate and let the Daddygate crew actually win, but I keep coming back to now, is it possible that when she said, "I shot my father," she might be remembering Reddington as the father. Reddington gets shot, he gets burned, which goes back to the scars at the end of season one. Although Red doesn't know he's the father because he never got a DNA test. He assumed he was, but never knew for sure. Got lied to that Rostov, Kirk, Constantine was the father. And then we find out that it is true all along.
I feel like you lost your own theory right there in the middle somewhere.
There is still a plausible way for Red to be the father and to have not lied to Liz.
I'm still of the mindset that we are betting that Red never lies to Liz, and I'm not 100% certain that I believe that, but that is the established theory, and that is what most people believe. So
that's that theory. That's the rule. That's established rule that we've been going with on the whole show.
And I always say it's not a rule until the end of the series when we know if it's a fact.
That's true.
So as far as I'm concerned, it's a theory. It's kind of like Big Bang. Can't prove it. I just think it's true. There you go. Mm. Boom. Okay, but we move on to he threw in the little princess line. Even as a dad, I was a little suckered with that one.
Slightly. Just slightly.
Yeah, a little bit. You throw in little princess, and I'm like, oh, he got me. He got me right in the feels.
My little princess that I held up a gun to.
Yeah, then that kills it. Thanks, Troy. Thanks. I thought, what a sweet, sweet father. And then you're right. I'm kind of coming to your mindset a little bit.
Like,
all right.
Like you could hold the gun. You could just wave it around like, ha-ha, I have your gun. Ha-ha. But no, he's like.
Well, it's like the Dennis Leary line. You remember hear that joke where he's like, I don't have to yell at my kids. I find waving the gun around.
Exactly right. That's exactly what I was thinking. And but when he points it at her, I'm like, nope, he's the bad guy. All lies. I don't believe you anymore.
Okay. Well, he does escape, so we don't catch him, so we're not going to get the full monologue of truth. Maybe we'll get that before the midseason. We'll see. Liz And we move on to Liz. We start the episode with Liz getting snarky.
Love
which
it.
I loved. What's that?
I loved it. No, absolutely. Her one-liners and the way she's been bantering with Kirk, I think, have probably been some of the best dialogue of the season. Just yep, hysterical.
I agree.
Almost, you could say it's almost like a daughter, like, you know, talking back to her dad.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. I see what you did there. Okay, so then we see her enact a little badassery, and she kills the pilot, crashes the plane. Don't really know what the plan was here, but I still like it.
Well,
even though I'm still trying to think.
I don't know if she crashed it.
She crashed it. She shot the pilot, and then it crashed in the ocean. That's crashing the plane.
At the speed and rate of the fall they were going, if it would have crashed, it would have been broken up into a lot more pieces. That plane was still floating. I think she gracefully, you know, greased the top of the water there and was able to pseudo land it, but not quite so well.
So we're really going to debate what is a crash?
What the definition of a crash is, yes.
Really? Look, Sully, I think what it was a crash landing is what it was. She landed it successfully. Nice job, Miracle on the Hudson, but it was definitely a crash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I really liked her Jason Bourne-ness in here. Hashtag Megan Boom. And I really was a big fan of the fact that we are getting the Liz we wanted. We are getting the, I'm not going to just sit here and be tossed about by you guys anymore. I'm taking control of my life. She really is a fighter these first two episodes. She is self-reliant. She is doing a lot of things herself. In fact, at the very end, I mean, I think she didn't even want them to save her then. I think she really just, you know, she was finally starting to come to grips with maybe this is where I should be.
And when they're on that boat with that poor Mexican fisherman, or Cuban fisherman, right, because it was a Cuban flag on his boat, bleeding out, she starts to go into her superpower, her profiling, as we learned from the interview, and literally read Kirk like a book, because I believed everything she said. Like, yeah, I could see that coming from Kirk. Yep, okay. So I wonder how much of that was actually true.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot to it, and he is a textbook narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
So is Reddington to a degree. So you've got both of them are kind of, they're kind of formidable foes, I would say.
And once again, the daddy issues come into play.
Yep. And she begins to believe him. She said that she might believe him, you know, because she finds her room, knows it's her room. Red finds the place as well. So it seems fairly accurate. This is the Summer Palace.
But she says that I might believe, I'm starting to believe you before they get to the Summer Palace. She said that on the boat.
Mm-hmm. So I think you might be telling the truth.
Is she saying I might be believing you, or is she saying I might be believing you to get you to believe me because I don't believe you? And it's kind of like the double entendre. Is that the right phrase?
It's not the right phrase, but that's cool. Double entendre implies a little something else,
right?
wrong. That's incorrect. But way to get people thinking again. There you go. Let's get another love triangle. I don't think so. I think she thinks that he might be telling the truth, or at least he believes what he is saying. I believe that she thinks that's a possibility.
I don't think she does.
I did love the profiling.
I don't think she does on the boat.
I do. I think she does. I think she thinks that he might be telling the truth. That's why she saved his life. And also that he's the only way she can get Agnes.
No, she said, I saved your life because of Agnes. You're the only one that knows where Agnes is. That's why I saved your life.
But she also alludes to on the boat, and I think you might be telling the truth.
I think that was a lie. I think that was her using that to get into his mind in order to get saved and then eventually get Kirk to trust her more in that regard.
Well, if you think about it, if you're that character, you want nothing more than to find out exactly who you are and where you come from and what is your history. What is your real history? So I believe that she might either want to believe him or starting to see the truth is trickling through for her.
Okay.
Yeah, just my opinion. But she finds drawings, her drawings. She finds the picture, the magical picture we've seen a couple times now. Buried items in the yard trigger some memories, bringing Katarina back. Still looks lovely as ever. It sure seems like this was her home.
For a period, for a time.
Mm-hmm. The main question, Aaron's question, is that do you believe that Kirk was there or Red was there, and that's what we talked about earlier. And we kind of have, you know, Troy basically won't commit to an answer either way. But I think I definitely think it's Red. I definitely think Kirk was not a part of that life. In my mind, he just knows of it, and he found that place, and they escaped, and whatever led them to Cape May.
I'm saying that there was a potential that Kirk could be there in that flashback sequence, or Red could be there in the flashback sequence. I believe that Kirk is using the Summer Palace as a front. He was never there. He's just using it as a setup to get in Liz's good graces and to trigger something. But I truly think that Kirk was a bad guy and Kirk was the team that was chasing Katarina. So I did take a stance in that regard. So in that sense, I'm saying Kirk wasn't there when she was a child.
Okay. And just when we thought we were going to get all the answers, the FBI showed up and ruined everything like they do.
So do you think that she at that moment was running back into the house
to
protect Kirk?
Yep, I do. Absolutely. Do you?
That's the only reason I'd run back into the house. Otherwise, I'd run right for Wrestler. Like, Wrestler, I'm so glad to see you. Save me.
Yep, I 100% agree. Or I guess it's possible that she wanted to stop him from leaving. So you can look at it that way. You can look at it from FBI perspective.
Because she looked up in the window.
Mm-hmm.
And looked up in the window and Kirk was there. So yeah, maybe she was going to go chase him down.
It's possible. Or she just wanted to protect him and not let him get away because now she's starting to believe him. And so she needs those answers. Because I do think she needs those answers. And plus, she knows once he gets away, that's her only way to find Agnes.
Right. And maybe that might be the case, too, because she wanted to save him, not to protect him from getting shot.
To get her baby.
But to save him from getting shot so that he wouldn't die to get her baby. So there, yeah.
Exactly.
Good point. Good point.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. All right. Well, get that out of your head now. Red, we've talked a lot about Red, but we still got a little bit more on Red before we get to the main character of this episode, in our opinion. Please help Mr. Kaplan. Why? You're going to shoot her later. Why do you want to help her out of the car? Remember when Tom gets to the car and he's like, please help Mr. Kaplan. Why would he care about helping Mr. Kaplan?
That's a really good point. I think because he does care for Kate. Kate has done a lot for him. I think Red has a code and he's trying to stick with the code. I think that's the challenge.
Okay, but in this episode, he's condescending. He's snarky. He's downright evil. Do you like this version of Reddington?
He hasn't acted out of character. He's acted the same way. When we had the syndicate, right? In the syndicate, and there was the other Nico was the one that was, you know, trying to go in behind the back and betray Red. He was acting this exact same way. So I don't think this is anything we haven't seen before. We just haven't seen him act this way with his number one or number two.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like his code is being disrupted by his personal feelings of betrayal. So I do think his moral code, as you called it, is a little slanted right now. Because when Kaplan gives her speech, I do think that there is some truth to that. I do think she was protecting his interests, even if she ultimately betrayed him. And, you know, in her speech, I really felt like, wow, you're kind of a selfish dude. You're a really selfish dude because you perceived a thing, decide what was best for me. I'm like, how about what was best for Liz? Isn't that what's supposed to be important?
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't. Most of the episode, he's either scolding or snarling after Kaplan, except asking Tom to help Kaplan and saying thank you to her, like we talked about. Red apparently bought a single buildable acre in a forest, a jewel, a unicorn, if you will, an acre to kill Kaplan on. He says even if he resolved the anger, he can't trust her. And then he shoots her. Were you shocked by this development?
Yes, which is really funny. Kudos to everyone involved in this scene, because I clearly thought as they were walking into the woods, Red's going to kill her. And then as the scene goes on and the scene goes on, it's, oh, so sweet. And you're playing on my emotions. And then for all eternity, bam, that was just... Mm-hmm. I was a hot mess. I'll tell you right now. I was a hot mess on my floor.
I was a hot mess.
I was not expecting him. Because literally, the things that happened during the episode, the, you know, please help Mr. Kaplan. So he still cares about Kate, very deeply about Kate. A lot of history there. And so it, when it didn't happen, I was like, oh, this is so good. It's, yeah, fine. Just stay here. You know, live on your own. You're good to go for all eternity. I was like, what? Son of a... And then just blah.
Yeah, I was in the same mindset. It's, I was very much, he's not going to kill her. I mean, this is, he's got really two hard-nosed confidants that he is always associated with, and it's either Dembe or her. So it, to me, it was, I was in the, he's not going to shoot her. You know, all the promos kind of made it sound, because I watched the, I unfortunately saw the promo because I was watching something else on NBC. Thanks a lot, NBC.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Yeah. And they definitely painted the picture like it was going to lead up to that, which to me, anytime, you know that, you watch how much TV, probably more TV than anybody that works for a network. That's how much TV Troy watches. I totally saw that at, they're going to pull the wool out from under us. There's not, they're never going to kill her if they're alluding to it in the promos. So I just assumed it was going to be fine. He starts telling the Acre story. I'm like, oh, I get it. Okay. So yeah, I can't be associated with you, but here, I'll set you up. I don't ever want to see you again. One of those kinds of deals. And then shoots her. I'm like, whoa, that took a turn. And apparently, let me ask you from your wife's perspective, okay? Because I'm not going to stop watching this show. I think I have a contract or something. But your wife, you know, she said that. And I did see many people in our Facebook group, The Blacklist Exposed, where, and on Twitter, where they were saying the same thing. And obviously, when actions like this happen, people always have that dramatic reaction, which is what you want. That shows that you're passionate about a TV show. Do you think anybody's actually going to stop watching because of this?
Hell no.
Yeah, I didn't think so. You've got to see where it goes.
You got to see, especially if you saw the promo. Thanks, NBC.
Mm. I didn't, so shush.
You just said you did.
I saw the one before the episode. I didn't see the one after this episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen this one. I've heard a lot about it, so I kind of, I think I know what's going to go on.
So you know or you don't know?
I don't know. I don't know what's in it. I just know people were chatting about it. I don't listen to those comments. I don't read those comments. I just see people saying, did you see the promo? So anytime people say that, it kind of gives me an idea. You know?
Well, and that, I didn't see the promo either, because I was literally like Kleenex and tissues and trying to clean myself back up and stuff.
You cried. That's cute.
I did. I think I cried a little bit more than some play. I just, what the play on the emotions and the whole speech and, oh, she's going to get off. She's going to get off. She's going to get off. And then it still happened. You're like, son of a kind of thing.
I was genuinely surprised they let him shoot her. Genuinely surprised. And we are coming back to that moment because we're going to move on.
I don't think you could say you're surprised, though, because when they pull up to the woods and they both get out and he's like, stay in the car. You're like, this is it. She's dead. She's gone. Because Red killed Mr. Gray, Newton Phillips. Red killed Vargas. Red kills people. Red killed Diane Fowler. It seemed like they had a good relationship and she betrayed him. He will kill people that will betray him. So I 100% in my mind said, yep, when they got to the woods, he's going to go ahead and take care of it now.
Well, let's play a game called I'm Not Troy, and I can be surprised if I want to be, and I was, because I didn't think they'd ever kill her.
I was surprised because they played on my emotions for that 2 to 3 minutes, and it was like, he's not going to do it. I can't believe he's actually going to let her live out her life in peace. He just can't be part of the group anymore. Right? I can't trust you. I don't recognize the person in front of me.
And I was surprised because I didn't think a TV show would even allow him to shoot her, honestly, because she's such a beloved character. I didn't see them doing that.
She's a henchman to Red, though. We all love her as the audience.
We can argue all day. I was still surprised. What do you want me to do? Apologize for it?
But I think that
I was surprised.
I think the people that are upset about it are like, I can't believe Red would do that. Like they're pissed off at Red. They think Red is completely twisted now and Red is a evil person and Red is gonna do all this bad stuff. They truly felt like Red was on a pedestal, and now Red is... That's my wife. My wife was like, Red's on a pedestal, and now I can't stand Red. I hate Red. Like complete flip on his character. And you and I have both said on this podcast, Red is a criminal. Do not put him on a pedestal. We think he may be in it for himself long-term, potentially. But you can't trust anything he does. He is a bad guy. He's a bad guy.
I misunderstood what you were saying. I thought you were saying I shouldn't be surprised because Red did. No, I'm not surprised that Red did it at all. It is totally in character, 100%. I was surprised that NBC let them do it, or that the showrunners chose to do it, because generally on TV, they wouldn't do that. So that's what I was surprised by.
Hey, at that point, it's 11 o'clock.
Oh, my God. Let the time go. Let the time go. Can we please give an applause for Susan Blomart as Mr. Kaplan, please? She owned the entire episode. She deserves it. I thought she was wonderful. As you all know, that you've ever listened to this podcast, we always save the most prominent character for last to discuss, and hers was the most prominent. This episode was really Mr. Kaplan's episode. How did you feel about either her performance or her, basically what she's had to go through over these last couple episodes?
I love everything that Susan has brought to this character. And I'm really, really upset that she won't be on the show anymore.
Oh, please. Please, 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 please. And we're going to talk about that moment, because we do have a criticism, but we're going to save that until we get there.
Yes.
So we got a lot of information because of this episode, because we talked about Mr. Kaplan a lot.
A lot of information.
Oh, actually, yeah, a lot. There is one thing where she talks to Red, where before they go to talk to little Nico's, where she say, "You know what I look like that night? Lying in the street, my head torn open, next to Annie's body." And Red says, "You know I don't. I was away." Who's Annie?
Ah, we'll get into that. There's some fan feedback about that. I don't want to steal their thunder.
Okay. Because all I know is the Michael Jackson song.
Yeah. Annie, are you okay? Are you okay?
Are you okay, Annie? Apparently not. Annie was not okay.
Well, based on that, then, that okay. We know that Annie was a CPR dummy, because that's what Annie was in the Michael Jackson video.
Wow. Quick reference. Good for you, man. For Troy.
Yeah, that's how he got the name Annie. He was in a CPR class, and the dummy's name was called Annie. And so then he used Annie's name in the song.
Is this what you're doing when you don't sleep?
Yeah, just randomly watch Michael Jackson documentaries. Absolutely.
That sounds like Troy. Yeah. If it was on TV, I'm sure it's true. Okay, well, she also says, "I betrayed," and this is important, okay? "I betrayed you to keep Elizabeth safe, just like you asked me to when you put her in my arms all those years ago as a baby girl." Baby girl. "And now she has a baby girl of her own. And your existence in their lives puts them in constant danger. Say that you understand or don't say anything at all." You know, when she's talking to him, when he's trying to express his sympathy for Tom torturing little Nikos.
Right.
Okay, so that is a lot of information, really, because we've always wondered if Kaplan was there, if she helped, we kind of, you know, there's some things that have alluded to it, but now Crystal, she was involved. What did you get out of that?
I got out of that Red and Kate Kaplan had Masha as a baby. So early on in whatever the backstory is, early on, Red did take Masha, or had Masha, and put him into Kaplan's arms. So now, did Red kidnap her? Was Red the father? Was Red the uncle? All that stuff still is in play. But it was before we see her in the fire sequence and in the flashback in this episode. So Red has been involved in Masha's life from the get-go.
Which is not Geico, right? Gecko?
Gecko.
Okay. Which is really interesting, and it really kind of makes you wonder, what does that all mean? And I think we've already debated some of that, so I won't spend too much time on that. But it is interesting to know that she was there from the beginning. And when she talks about it as a baby, and then you see the flashback, and she's obviously a toddler, I think that's a very distinct difference. There is a difference, and I don't think people would refer to a toddler as a baby.
Mm-mm. Especially when she references specifically, "Now she has a baby girl of her own," in that same exact sentence. And clearly we know Agnes isn't four.
Right. So it's alluding to the fact that they were around roughly the same age.
Correct.
So they're kind of going through similar situations. Okay. So, it might actually lead to what you were saying earlier about when Red says the child, maybe he's reflecting on Masha. Like, he's reflecting back to what happened originally, the first time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And then said, and then he said the child there too, and didn't call her Masha or Elizabeth. So I think that's where it's interesting to say, well, did he have this child for protection? Like, he wasn't the father, but there was some reason why he had to protect them. And I think that's the interesting part of the story that we might see the rest of the season is there something bigger? Like, it's not even Red's fault. Red was just doing his job. He was protecting these children for some other reason that we haven't even gotten into yet.
Doing what he was asked.
Exactly.
Doing what he was asked. Maybe he had an affair with Katerina. Kirk came after both of them, including, you know, came after Red's family as well as his. Or maybe they were just really close friends. Who knows? Maybe he just thinks they had an affair.
Which goes,
well, no, we know he loved Katerina, so we know that.
Well, we know that Red loved, right, Red loved Katerina, because we talked about that, too, after Kate May.
Katerina. Did you say Katerina?
No, Katerina.
Okay. I'm hearing things.
You're hearing things.
I'm having my own memory.
I need to enunciate more. We've said that, right? Red loved Katerina, but there might not be love in reverse. Maybe Red was on assignment, special secret operative agent thing from the Navy. Maybe he was undercover. We talked about all of that with Kate May. All of that could still be in play. Maybe his assignment was to protect this family because of something bigger. And like we said, once we know the answer, what is the relationship between Liz and Red? That answer might not be the answer of the entire show.
It's true. I think we're going to get some answers here soon. We got to, right? At this point...
At least one.
Yeah. At this point, wouldn't you agree that with all of the developments from the past... Actually, the last probably 10 episodes. As soon as we do get the moment, because Red kind of drove away. He didn't want to talk to Liz at that time. Maybe he's still feeling betrayed, whatever. But whenever they do get in a room together, she has to demand an answer and not leave until he gives something. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, just from a storytelling perspective, the fact that we have these two episodes and we've gotten this flashback and, you know, I am your father and all of that, hopefully by episode 8, when the story... Mm-hmm. First part of the story wraps, unless it's on a cliffhanger and it keeps going and all that good TV stuff. But you would assume that there's an end to the story, and the end of that story has to be something that relates to the past.
Yeah, you can't have all the stuff that's happened the last several episodes and not have something. So we got to get a morsel of clarification on some things. We'll see if we get it. Doesn't mean we will. It's TV. It doesn't, just because we think we need it doesn't mean we need it, according to them. But I trust their hands. So far, I'm having a really fun season 4. Kaplan knows every secret, weakness, dedicated her life to him. Red trusted her with everything. And she feels like she never failed him. Like, she kept up her end of the bargain. Her job was to protect Liz, and that's what she was trying to do. And then she is shot and left for dead.
Shot.
Yeah.
Keyword.
Saying shot. Now, before we get to the final point, this portion, when Red actually shoots her, what do you think? What is your opinion of the actual motive? Was it betrayal? Was it he can't trust her, like he says? Or was it something more? Is it the secrets? Because he's worried about the secrets.
No, if he's worried about the secrets, he keeps her alive and keeps her close. He's following through his MO, trust and betrayal. You betrayed me. You didn't come. I'm going right back to Newton Phillips. You could have come to me. I could have helped you. But you chose to take this matter into your own hands, Newton. Plastic bag goes over his head. Same exact scenario, same exact sequence. He is operating in his standard MO. You didn't come to me. You chose to make this decision on your own. Therefore, you have to pay the price. Totally fine with it.
Well, let's ease back. I mean, totally fine with it. Kind of implies you're cool with the decision.
When he walked out of the car, I was fine with it. When the writers then took 3 minutes to get there, then I wasn't fine with it.
So you were okay with him shooting Kaplan originally, and then you kind of came back from that, and then you were like, oh, now I'm back on board.
Yep, exactly.
Why are you okay with... I mean, obviously it's a character, so it's not a real person. Why are you okay with killing Kaplan to begin with?
Because it's his MO. If Red doesn't kill him, then Red went soft. And then everything Red does from this point forward, he's a softie. He is staying true to who he is as a character. And because of that, I appreciate that more. Him not killing her would have been detrimental to the character in the long run.
I could see that.
Because
these
are associates. They're not his family. There's a difference. Like, would if, and I'm not saying that Liz and Red are father-daughter or whatever, But killing Liz would be a different story. Killing Kaplan, it's just an associate. He can get another number two or number 1B or whatever it is. Now, granted, she knows a lot, and she's been there from the beginning, but so does Dembe. So since I still have Dembe, I can afford to lose one or the other one.
So by your rationale, if Dembe would have facilitated Liz's abduction, you would have been okay with him killing Dembe too.
That one's a different slant.
Nope. If it applies, because they're both henchmen, basically.
But the difference is that Red practically raised Dembe as a father because he saved him from the Mabasa cartel issue. So there's a little bit more of a deeper connection between the two of them, especially with the way they prayed in the box and Ansel Garrick together. Susan was just a hire, or at least we think she's just a hire. We don't know. They might be brother or sister. Who knows, right?
Science! Take a shot.
Yeah. So
I don't believe they're brother and sister.
I don't think they are either. I think she was just a hired hand, and that's why I was okay with her dying. I was just more okay with it before the speech. After the speech, I was like, why didn't you just keep her close? If she knows all this stuff, just put her in a box and have Boz watch her.
Well, because obviously now she's going to continue to do what she thinks is best for Liz in his mind, so he can't trust her. That's one thing. She knows too much, and he's already betrayed her, so he can't trust her. There's a lot of trust issues.
There is. There's trust. There's a lot of trust. But that's what he asked her to do. Keep Liz safe. That was primary directive number one.
Mm-hmm.
And if she thinks in her head that that is what she was supposed to do, and I think that Red even says that, right? I agree with you that you were doing what you think was best for Liz, and that's okay, but I can't trust you. The trust issue is the issue, and that's exactly when you go back to season one of Newton Phillips, the same conversation. You should have come to me. You didn't. You die.
Okay. Now, we get to the part where we're going to have a little bit of criticism on this episode, okay? Her hand grasps the grass. Some are taking that as a sign of her last breath. No, I'm not on that train. I'm totally saying that's I'm not dead. So in my mind, what will she do now? Well, we'll talk about that in a second. But this moment, you and I both had a guttural reaction to. Why don't you explain why?
Oh, you want me to go first so I can be chastised by everybody?
Yep, that's the plan. Okay. I like when people like me better.
Here's my stance on the hand grab of grass. Number one, you just toyed with my emotions and literally sitting in a pool of my own tears on the floor for Susan's apparent death. And then you do the hand grab thing, and it just takes you out of that emotional moment. That it was so powerful and so deep. And then the hand grabs, and you're like, come on, really? The hand grab? Come on. And you just lost all of the credibility of that emotional moment. I think the better way to do it would have been
Here we go, Monday morning quarterbacking with podcasts.
Well, exactly right. But this is how I felt, like literally like seconds after the episode ended, which is why I didn't see the promo initially. The thing I would have done was left the hand grab to the next episode because it ties directly into the promo, which Aaron might have to step away if he hadn't seen it and doesn't care or he already knows and whatever.
At this point, I already have my opinion, so it's okay.
It's okay. So my issue is that marketing ruins these emotional moments. We watch these shows because we want to be invested in the characters. And because we're invested in the characters and we get that a good emotional cry when this happened, which I did, and then you do something like that, and then you show the promo, I was angry. Seriously angry, because as a fan, I'm like, why did you ruin my emotional moment in that moment? Because that's literally how I felt betrayed by the network.
And it's not the showrunners. We want to point that
out. Yeah, not the showrunners. NBC.
NBC does that.
I was literally betrayed by the network by seeing the promo. And that just, it takes you out of that. So I got to imagine some of the audience felt that exact same way. What I would have done is left the hand grab to the next episode. Literally end it with Red walking away and the body just laying in the grass and cut it. The internet would have gone berserk for the next 7 days, debating it, questioning it. Why? That's all the marketing you need, because the fans will market the hell out of the show for you. We're marketing the show for them right now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need the promo. The promo ruined everything by seeing the promo. Because I legitimately thought she was dead on the ground, in the grass, at that moment, crying on the floor. And then the promo happens. And you're like, come on, seriously?
So you weren't swayed by the hand grabbing the grass. You if you wouldn't have saw the promo, or when you originally didn't see the promo, you saw that more as last grasp for life.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And yeah, I did not.
I can forgive the hand grab, because the first thing you're thinking of, oh, okay, she's not dead, they're going to bring her back, and that's kind of a, no offense, to me that's kind of a cop out. We've already done that with Liz, right? We've already had the fake death. Don't do another fake death. It's too soon. And so then I was like, okay, maybe she's just like, it's the last grasp of life, and she wants to hold that land, because we had the conversation of how she wanted something that was blemished and untouched and whatever. And so she reached out and grabbed that, and that's how she passed away. And so I was like, okay, I'm okay with the hand grab if it's that, right? If it's that. Still haven't seen the promo. Then the promo comes on, and you're like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, I could see that. See, here's what I do as a ritual. As soon as the episode ends and it fades and it goes, next week on The Blacklist, I hit stop. Because I always watch it. You know, if I'm not watching it live, it's on DVR. And this week I watch DVR. But even if I'm watching it live, I either change the channel or hit stop.
Yep.
So I never see him. I still haven't seen this promo that he's talking about. But I know everybody on the internet's talking about the promo. There were a lot of fans not happy about that promo. I mean, even was it Megan, I think, actually did a tweet where she was showing some scenes from, it was only like the plane crash. And she even put spoiler alert, you know, on her tweet, which I thought was very respectful for fans.
Very respectful.
So, yeah, which is, I mean, come on, this is a huge moment in the show. But for me, it wasn't the promo, because I didn't see it. So for me, when I saw the hand grab, that to me says Kaplan's still alive. So I'm not getting any information from the promo. I still haven't seen it. And even if you wouldn't have heard of it, I still would have thought Kaplan was still alive. And the reason, I'm going to explain why that bothers me as a fan, even though I did love this episode, and Kaplan, I thought, had a great arc in this episode. And I really understand why she's not dead, why they're going to keep her going, because now we have to wonder, what's she going to do? Is she going to be a foe to Red? Is she going to seek revenge? Is she still going to vie for loyalty with Red? There's a lot of things we don't know of what Red's actions are going to do for Kaplan going forward. Fair enough. But in that moment, you have a character that we almost have hero worship for. We know he's a bad character, but we love him because it's James Spader kicking some ass and vocalizing. He's an ass-kicking vocalizer. That's what he is. He's a wordsmith. He's a ninja with words. And he does that beautifully. So we are always on his side. That was an opportunity, my opinion, to push the audience away from him a little bit and to reflect directly that he is a bad man. And I know we've said that before. You know, he does actions of a bad man. And people sometimes are actually surprised that Red would do something. Well, it is totally in his character. He's not a good guy. He's just not a good guy. He does bad things. He might do them for his specific moral reasons or his code, but that doesn't necessarily make them good things. You know what I mean? And he is doing something here that is horrible for fans of the show, because we like Kaplan. We associate with Kaplan. We respect Kaplan. We see it from the fans' perspective that she was trying to help Liz, that she was trying to help Tom and really that baby escape the life of constant looking over their shoulder and fear and just instant, you know, death, really, and try to get them to some semblance of tranquility. And that's what they were trying to do. And she is being punished for that. And Red shoots her almost mercilessly and walks away and has very, very little reaction, which is fine, because that's really in his character as well. But I was in shock and awe at that moment. I was in absolute shock and awe because, like I said, surprised that he actually shot her. And did I think she was dead? Yes. If you would have left that moment, you would have gotten me. If you would have closed out with just he shoots her and walks away and we see her body, and then we do the hand grab in the next episode. Or maybe you don't even get a hand grab. You just get a mysterious foe in the background that's somehow interfering with Red's business seems to always be a step ahead because has that information. And then it's revealed like at the end of the season that it's Kaplan or something like that, which granted, we don't know what direction they're going with the story element. So I'm just, like I said, Monday morning quarterbacking because obviously I can write better, which I can't. I'm saying they're way better at this than I am. I don't know where they're going. Love the show. It was just one moment that I took concern with. I think it would have been personally, it would have been better saved for another episode. It still was a great episode and it was a really strong moment, but I do think that hand grab really made it easier to sympathize with Red than it should have been.
Agree. I think that they do the shot, they go up close on Kaplan before the hand grab, and it's like Kaplan looking back at Red walking into the darkness of the woods. Mm-hmm. That's where I would have cut it right there. Done.
And if they're listening, they're like, we don't care what you think.
Right? I know they don't.
We did what we had to do, which is fine. It's just one of those things where, you know, I get and both again, sides of this argument.
Like I said, I could forgive the hand grab too, and I could say the hand grab was like grass for life if it wasn't for the marketing department ruining the fan emotional moment. That was just, oof. I don't know.
Trey was pretty mad, boy.
I didn't see the promo. I purposely didn't want to watch the promo, and I came down and we did some stuff for International Podcast Day and did other things, and then I went on our Facebook group and it's like the promo, and it's like, oh, son of a gun, really? Did they really do that? And then I had to watch it because I had to see what everybody's talking about, and I'm like, come on, dude.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I was kind of surprised because people were initially, I thought they would just be talking about the moment, but all I saw were comments about promo. So that's how you know that. Oh,
yeah, you kind of missed the boat.
Yeah, there's something to do with the promo, but yeah, everybody loved this episode. I thought Kaplan was great. I really think it's a great episode. Honestly,
it's a fantastic episode. Lots of information. Fantastic. In it. Great addition to the Blacklist story.
Absolutely. So, what do you think she's going to do now? Let's get back on the positivity track.
Well, that's technically the profiling question.
It is, but what do you think? I mean, leading into it, we definitely want to hear what you guys think. But what do you think? What do you think? Is she going to become Red's enemy? Is she going to go for prove loyalty? What do you think is going to happen? What's your opinion?
You shot me. So I think that's the first reaction. He shot me. So I think she still has loyalty to the crew. So still has loyalty to Dembe, Boz, those types of people. I can't imagine she would twist that quickly and sell the information she has to the highest bidder. Maybe she does. I would, because she said in the car with Tom, he knows what he has to do and he wants me to make it easier for him. She's already knows in her head that he's going to shoot her. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I think maybe she tries to prove her loyalty again. She tries to redeem herself. And I think that's what'll happen.
I really hope that isn't the case because I'd like her to say, okay,
you had your chance.
You
wanted to give everybody in the audience the answers. Just spill it.
Well, I do want her to go to Liz and probably, I think it would be cool if she went to Liz and she's the one that helped open, you know, gave some of the answers that we're looking for. Because then it's not Red, you know, betraying his refusal to do so. It's because of him, now she knows more answers. I do want her to...
And then we know they're the true answers too, because we'll believe anything Kaplan says. Red says.
No. So it would be interesting to me. I definitely don't want her to be proving her loyalty because I think she was trying to do that. He didn't listen. This is on him. So anything she does is on him as far as I'm concerned. I'm not with you. I don't
it's not a proving loyalty thing. I don't think she continues to betray him by selling the secrets.
I don't think she does that. I think they could do that and they could make use of that in the show and make her like a formidable villain. Honestly, you really could. At this point, and
I really like your idea, like you were saying about her being like in the shadows and at the end of season 4, Kaplan comes out of the ashes or whatever.
I think that could have been.
It could have been really cool. Really cool.
But we're going a different way, and I'm sure it'll be fun. Every time we debate or worry about these,
it still turns out fine.
It works out. Yeah, it turns out fine. So we'll see where it goes. And even, you know, I was petrified about the baby being involved, but thankfully, all we ever see are like Facebook grabs or Skype grabs or whatever.
FaceTime conversations.
Yeah, so that's working fine for me. Keep the baby out of it as much as you can. I'm good. But so I'm curious where it's going to go. I'm definitely curious where it's going to go. And I'm looking forward to it because I'm glad Susan's still there. I think she's a great addition to the show. And now they really have given her something to play with as opposed to just being Red's right hand. She can really, or would it be left hand because Dembe is technically, whatever side she's on. Now she can really take charge of her own life. Because I don't think she's just going to walk away and hide in, you know, obscurity. I think she's coming for Red. Right. That's what I think. We'll see. We will see. Show's not over, guys, so don't go anywhere. But please remember to download the Blacklist Exposed app for iOS and Android. And be sure to go even deeper into the mystery of Red Reddington by visiting our partner Blacklist site, theblacklistnbc.com. We'll be right back with Red's Rhetoric right after this.
What if you could live your life without limits, where every desire you ever imagined could be fulfilled? This fall, experience Westworld, a show where every human's dark side will be revealed. After watching each episode, listen to Beyond Westworld, a podcast featuring humans and hosts from around the park diving deep into HBO's illustrative narrative. Every hero has a code, and so do you. Download your itinerary and the show at beyondwestworldpodcast.com or your podcast app of choice.
Welcome to Red's Rhetoric, that part of the show where we play two scenes from this week's episode, and then you get to vote which you think is the best one over at theblacklistexposed.com. Just look for the post for Motto. Last week was a lot closer than I expected, Aaron, as Red Lane only won by the slimmest of margins with 54% of the vote. It's kind of surprising. This week, our first clip comes when Red talks to Motto about the afterlife.
The strong, silent type. You're not doing much to break down stereotypes here.
I'm not afraid of pain.
Or dying, I'm sure. You know, some years back, I was hiking Devil's Tower for a bracing dip in the spiritual vortex when who did I run into but the tribal leader of the Lakota Nation, a man of vast responsibility. He invited me to witness the extreme version of the Sundance ritual.
Not just anyone can attend the Sundance.
True, and you can't get a table at the Fat Duck without a reservation, but I find in either case, a generous donation gets you in the teepee. I watched a tribal member, much like yourself, suspend himself from a cottonwood tree with flesh hooks through his chest. 3 hours he dangled, skin stretched like saltwater taffy while he left his body to communicate with the Great Spirit. Like you, the man on that tree didn't fear death. But you know what terrified him? The thought of eternity on Earth, trapped in a dark box, surrounded by rotting flesh forever. I hear that's why some native people leave spirit holes in their caskets to allow their souls to pass on to the next great hunting ground in the sky. After I shoot you, sir, you will be locked in an airtight concrete crypt unless you tell me what I need to know before those figures stop dancing.
Our second clip comes when Red gives Kaplan a real estate lesson.
1 acre. A jewel. A single buildable acre. Like a flawless diamond set in a sea of emeralds. Real estate equivalent to a unicorn. I acquired it some years ago from a family who had held it in trust for over a century and a half. Beautiful.
Yes.
You understand, Kate, that
I have no choice. Isn't that the speech, Raymond? That I know too much? Every single one of your weaknesses, all your faults, all your secrets. I dedicated my life to you. You entrusted me with everything you value. Your freedom, your life, a child, I have never failed you. What you see as a betrayal of trust was actually a fulfillment of your wishes to protect your interests. No more, no less.
You presumed to decide what was best for me. Even if I resolve the anger, the pain you caused, I can't trust you. Ever. I'm standing before a stranger. And yet I know you believe what you did was best for Elizabeth, which is why I brought you here. You've told me you've always wanted a pristine, unspoiled place to live out your days in peace. So the acre is yours. For all eternity.
Which was your favorite line this week? If you prefer holes in your coffin to a concrete box, vote Red Spirit. Or if you would like a plot of land untouched by man, vote Red Acre.
Just so you know, I'm voting Red Acre because I really want an acre of land. So if anybody can help me out with that, that would be great. Hoosah.
All right. You didn't listen to me at the top of the show when I said run like hell.
I don't listen to you most of the show, honestly. So really, I'm just talking to myself and just bouncing it off a mirror. That's what I'm doing. Special Agent Intel, Terry wrote in regards to Mato and the killing of Kaplan. I've watched enough television to understand why writers, especially this talented team, would move Red down that rabbit hole. Nonetheless, from this fan's point of view, Red has ruined his soul. And if I were Dembe, who you know must be heartbroken, I'd be wondering if her, not me, am I next? Red was always sad, dangerous, and morally corrupt. But he was written with a streak of fun that we all loved. Killing Kaplan was probably a blast to write and fun to act out. I, however, was not amused. Whoa.
Whoa. Sharon said, first of all, Red has always been brutal. He killed everyone involved when he was taken by Anslow Garrick, including a medical tech that was never involved in crimes prior to that. It's no surprise to me. Secondly, he is too good a shot to leave Kaplan alive. I have to think it was intentional. If not now that she survived, will she be hunting him to save herself? And lastly, what was the story she told about the way Mato found her? What did she look like prior to the incident? Also, in regard to that story, who is Annie? Footnote, don't get on Tom's bad side either. Of course, as a mother, I could have done it too to save my child.
I think Red was trying to kill her. I don't think you shoot somebody in the head as a warning. My opinion. That's just my opinion. But maybe when her head was spilled open, she got like a metal plate in her head, and that's where the bullet hit, and it saved her life.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, because when her head was split open, they have to sew that back up. That's where the ricochet comes. And then it's like completely plausible on why Red missed.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why Red shot there in the first place, was to hit that spot to set a point.
No, I just don't. Like, I don't see that. I'm not saying it's not true, but I don't see that.
Okay, so you're not agreeing with Sharon when she says, I have to think that it was intentional to leave her alive.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
You think that he intentionally did what he was going to kill her, period. Point blank dead.
I think he took her to a piece of land in the middle of nowhere, gave a long speech, and whenever he gives a speech, he's killing someone. That's
right.
The death speech.
Agree. Yeah.
Hashtag death speech.
Okay.
Rory, to the dynamic duo of Blacklist Podcast. I will say, that's my opinion, Sharon. I'm not knocking yours. That's just my opinion.
Right.
Rory, I will say I did enjoy the episode tonight and thought it had some great scenes. I thought, as De Niro would say, there were some wasted talent. I like how they are showing Kirk give Liz some bits of information, almost like he's developing an asset.
Mm-hmm.
When Red entered Lizzie's life, he told her he wanted to learn the truth on his own, or wanted her to learn the truth on her own, and barely gave her information. Mato was a means to an end, Blacklister, but we still haven't found Agnes yet. Hashtag find Agnes. Found Liz is a bit quicker than I thought, but I'm okay with that. Love the scene where Liz gets out of the car and Red just rolls the window up and drives off. It was almost like a disgusted father. I've been there.
Yep.
Oh, I've been there. We all knew that we'd have to make a decision on Mr. Kaplan, but it was sloppy. But I'll chalk it up to Red being emotional about it. Wish they would have left us guessing, but now they left us wondering what's next for Mr. Kaplan. Does she go to the spinoff with Tom now and get redemption? Can't wait to hear your thoughts. Mm. That's an interesting idea. I didn't even think of that.
I would love to see her on the spinoff, but unfortunately, we know she's in next week's episode. Thanks, NBC.
God, you're so bitter. But that could lead to what he's saying about redemption. Maybe she'll pop up there.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Pauline said, in this episode, we learned some Red and Kate backstory. One part of it was that Red handed Liz over to Kate when she was a baby. Not sure yet what was the context and what this means, but it would seem clear that Liz was given into Kate's custody long before the fire. Agree. Second part of the backstory comes from when Kate said to Red about when she was laying in the street with a catastrophic head wound, Kate said something about Annie's body laying next to her. The assumption is that Annie was dead. Now we know from Dr. Linus Creel, episode 204, that's season 2, episode 4, that Kate had been sleeping with a woman.
Mm.
The context of this comes when Kate is examining exhumed body to check the corpse's internal organs for Liz. She and Red were talking about a visit to someone, and Red was typically mentioning food, some kind of soup. He asked Kate if she remembered this, to which Kate replied, "How can I forget? I was sleeping with his sister." Why am I bringing this up? Well, we've all been wondering why Kate wears a wedding band. Although gay marriage wouldn't have been legal at the time of Annie's death, could Kate have been in what she and Annie considered a marriage for all intents and purposes? They could have both worn wedding bands, and Kate was still wearing hers as a widow.
Hmm.
Hence the Mr. Kaplan that would kind of role play, if you will.
Oh, snap! I almost swore. Yeah, that's a good point. Didn't even think about that. Now, I like that. I really like that. Good theory.
And because Aaron always picks on me on Facebook for not being in the know and doing my job, I will clarify that in that episode, season 2, episode 4, Red says that it was barley stew, and Kaplan corrects him that it was Reuben soup. And it was specifically the coroner from Des Moines' sister that Kaplan was sleeping with. So there's your knowledge drop for you, Aaron. Boom.
Oh, look at you. You went back and dug that up, didn't you?
I did.
Good for you. I'm proud of you. Because I wouldn't. I just would have winged it. I would have been like, it's tomato. I remember. I think it was tomato. Mm-hmm. Maricel says, I think this is the first episode where I see Red as a bad guy. Don't get me wrong. I always knew Red was a criminal and immoral, but he was always either charming while he was committing his crimes. That's what I would do. And more often than not, he had a decent reason for doing what he did. But what he did this episode felt spiteful, almost evil. Wink, wink, Kirk. Well played. Killing Kaplan with such a coldness and forcing Lizzie to live in that box of a room did not sit well with me at all.
I know. She's got that nice apartment.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I'm with you there.
Kim said, how can one show manage to wrap me up and take me on the best story journey ever? Amazing. A few points. Wow, Red. If Kaplan isn't gone, you just put a gun to your head and begged her to pull the trigger. I love Kaplan's dialogue with Tom in that he was asking for understanding or forgiveness after killing. Yeah, this is a good point. We didn't talk about this. The with Tom and the whole St. Regis thing and him having this inability to love, inability to feel concept, and now here he is asking for forgiveness. I think that's very interesting on how Tom's character has developed.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Okay. Yeah, doesn't work that way. Megan Boone, fantastic performance.
Agreed.
You managed to convey a kaleidoscope of emotions very subtly, and I felt every one. Wrestler, you are the bomb. Best TV hug ever. I actually kind of agree with that. I love that hug between the two of them. I thank every member of this show's cast and crew for such high-level entertainment. Troy, bring on the podcast. Cannot wait to hear your take on this week's show. See, Troy. There's no Aaron in there. You have to include okay. Aaron, Kim. You have to include Aaron, or Aaron won't be your friend.
I'll see you guys later. I'm not needed here. Let's just let Troy handle it. Let's go. Let's just go. Everybody should be an Android on the blacklist. Go ahead. Sue. I just watched the episode and I am feeling queasy, I guess is the word, along with a lot of folks here. I think Red just made a huge enemy. Kaplan knows all. This was such a violent episode, probably because of the time slot, because that's all Troy wants to talk about. Is
you keep bringing it up.
In private, he mentions it like every 5 minutes. It's because of the 10 o'clock times. Shut up. this is such a violent episode, a little over the top for me. And I say again, this was too far. The stew maker didn't do it, but this one. This is what is making people think too violent. I don't get it. And I do not like Agnes being still in danger. I mean, those Russian thugs and Mato's woman, they will bail at the first sign of trouble. I agree. I did like seeing little Liz, but so many questions. I feel Katerina loved her daughter, of course, but did she love the two, so far just two, men in her life as well? More and more hanging threads here. I wish we could tie one up or two without making five more. Now, and this may grate, but I don't think Spader was on his game for this episode. Ooh, I didn't say it. I didn't say it, James. The whole thing seemed a little off to me. Odd looks, a beat slow or something. I will rewatch the episode, of course, but so far, not up to the usual for me. I don't know. Sue, I will say to those comments, my opinion, I think he was trying to play the uncertainty of Red, that he was really grappling with his decision on what to do. And I think he was trying, from what I saw, intentionally to seem unnerved and bewildered. That's what I got.
It's exactly how I thought he was playing it. He was grasping with this decision. What is he going to do? How is he going to play it out? Is he going to play it out? And because of that, it's almost like he's a little off, right? That's how you would feel, right? If you had something weighing on your mind, it's hard for you to process, hard for you to think, hard for you to work, hard for you to converse. So absolutely. But I do think the pacing of the show is a little bit different. I kind of picked up on that too, Sue, and I think that's intentional. I think we're on a different beat cadence because of what is coming for the show in the future.
Ooh, I'm writing that down. Beat cadence. I like it. All right. Next.
Deborah, in the real criminal world, Kaplan would have suffered far worse. Ooh, Deborah's dark.
That's true, though. She's not wrong.
She's not wrong. Red chose a land that he referred to as a diamond in a sea of emeralds. He chose a quick and painless death. One bullet only.
Well, it wasn't quick and painless. Just saying.
Kaplan knew it had to be done. Dembe knew it had to be done. When lives depend on loyalty, on trust, Red has to. No, you're all in. He said what he needed to. He doesn't know her anymore. I wasn't upset with Red at all. That was something he needed to do. What will be upsetting is watching what comes next. Kaplan has two options, stay out of Red's way or earn back his trust. Or a third option, which is go behind his back and blow it all. I predict she'll be the one to save Agnes, that is, when she heals. I believe Kaplan will risk her life saving Agnes, possibly even die saving her. Then Red will be there to mourn the loss of a friend. The friend she's always been. Going against Red would not only be stupid, but it would defeat the purpose. I do not see that happening.
I want it to happen. Yeah,
I kind of like the her sacrificing herself to save Agnes line too. That's lots of great story elements that you could go in.
Yeah, I'm just telling you. You ever shoot me in the head and I survive, we ain't gonna be pals. You better run. You better run like hell, as you said in the opening, Wendy. Because I'm not gonna. I will bury you in a mud pit. Mm. That's where you're going. You're not getting that secret land, Wendy. After the rewatch, I felt that ending eclipsed the overall episode. The episode as a whole, I enjoyed it. It gave us nuggets of information of all the players. Lizzie went into profiler mode, which was good to see. While submerged in the water, she asked Kirk what his parents were like. We never got the answer. That's an interesting point. Be interesting to know what his response would have been. So Lizzie has memories of Katerina, but are they to be trusted? If that memory is correct, Katerina making a time capsule so that Masha could remember her by. Was she already planning something? Kaplan, knowing Lizzie since she was a baby. Now, that was a surprise. I know she mentioned it in a previous episode, but dismissed it as an emotional response to Agnes. I feel Red is definitely going off script. He is not a man on a mission. He's a man with an obsession, an unhealthy one. I do think it does look like that.
It does.
He is unraveling, which makes him more dangerous than ever. Now, that ending. I agree with Aaron. Whoa, yeah, yeah. If they had left it, see, she didn't say Troy. She said Aaron. Maybe we don't need Troy on this podcast.
Maybe Kim and Wendy should be doing the podcast together.
There you go. If they had left it at that point when she went down and he shot her, then faded out without seeing the hand twitch, it definitely would have had a bigger impact. After leaving her out of the promo, I guess she's in the promo, and a couple of episodes would have been a better play too, in my honest opinion. But what if he only ever intended to wound her, fake her death, as someone has suggested? Then this show is running on a theme. Everyone is a fake, except those in the post office FBI. Interesting times ahead.
Interesting times indeed.
I just don't get the faking that. You shoot somebody in the head, you take them out there, you give them a speech, shoot them in the head, and you're hoping they survive. I understand what you guys are saying. I think that's probably a wish as opposed to an actual belief. I think they just don't want to believe that Red would actually shoot her in the head. But, that's what I think.
But the concept of her head being split open and there being a metal plate in there, and that conversation obviously Red knows about, mm-hmm. it does make it plausible to think, I'm going to shoot you in the one place where you would be able to survive, so that you know that I mean business, that it's the whole concept of, could I actually pull the trigger? Would I actually go through with it? And then when he actually does go through with it, Kaplan now knows, I will kill you if you do this again. So it is a plausibility. There is a thing for it.
It's a plausibility. I just don't subscribe to it. I think he's totally trying to shoot her dead. Dead, dead, dead. But I could be wrong. And then I'm going to feel stupid later. And you guys are all going to tell me how stupid I am, which I appreciate. Well, that's going to conclude this episode. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @TheBlacklistGSM. Wow, we actually thought this was going to be a shorter episode. We ended up making it a longer episode. Go us. You can follow us on Twitter at @TheBlacklistGSM, where we live tweet during the East Coast feed, and we use the show's hashtag, TheBlacklist.
Don't forget to follow us on Tumblr, Instagram, and also join the Facebook group where all these great people are chatting and giving us great information. Just search for The Blacklist Exposed there. Talk about the show, the podcast. Definitely talk about the promo.
So angry. I think you need a hug. My God, man. You could also subscribe in the podcast and iTunes. See, one more reason why you don't watch the promos. Stop the episode. Enjoy it. Savor it. Live with it. Drink it in. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and we're also in your podcast app of choice wherever you want. Please leave us a review, especially if you are new to the show. It really does help. Or listen from the website. But if you're really on the go, make sure you download our app for iOS or Android powered by Spreaker. You can also find all the intel and analysis about this episode for Mato by visiting theblacklistexposed.com. Big thanks for listening. I want to remind you, Beyond Westworld just started. If you want to hear Troy and I ramble about another TV show, please check that out. BeyondWestworldPodcast.com, or it's Beyond Westworld in your podcast app of choice. Don't forget to answer our profiling question. What will be the consequences for Red's decision?
Depends on how you want to interpret that.
Things that make you go,
Oh my gosh. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's @TroyHeinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, about.me/TroyHeinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at TheHollywoodOutsider.com or on Twitter at @H_Outsider. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the Blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.